Sometimes, you know, I think we feel like our world just keeps falling apart more. But, you know, when we do, that is when we have to have our confident trust and reliance on God and His faithfulness. Faithfulness. See, He's there to get us through these times that we're dealing with right now. He's our hope. That is a confident expectation of good. And it all rests in Him and Him alone. This lamb at the altar, don't go back and pick it up. The garbage man doesn't come by and cleaned up and took out the trash. But if you emptied it out, he picked it up. It's gone. You're clean. He's in the cleaning business. You haven't understood by now. Man, when he cleans something, it's whiter than snow. That's hard to believe, something whiter than snow. But that's how deep he cleans. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 8, we are pressed on every side by troubles, but not crushed and broken. We are perplexed because we don't know why things happen as they do. But we don't give up and quit. Why? Because of the agape love of God. And according to 2 Corinthians 13, verse 8, this love doesn't give up, it doesn't quit, and it never, never, never fails. God's unfailing love, His agape love, has been poured into our hearts by the Holy Spirit He gave us. His unfailing love comforts us just as He promised us. That is Psalm 119:76. In Psalm 36, verse 7, it says, how priceless is your unfailing love, O God. People take refuge in the shadow of your wings. There's protection under His wings. Psalm 91. We're all standing on Psalm 91. And we've been praying Psalm 91 since the pandemic started, have we not? But in verse 4, it says, He shall cover you with His feathers, and under His wings you shall take refuge. His truth shall be your shield and buckler. Here God described as a mother hen. And when her chicks sense danger, they run for the protection under those wings. There, though, they not only find safety, but they find warmth and they find love. See, that's how God protects us, safe and secure in His loving arms. Makes you just want to be held, doesn't it? Sometimes you ever notice a day goes and all these little things just keep adding up. And I mean, they're little, true. But when they all just seem to get so big, that's when you want to run. And He just will hold you in His loving arms. And you'll feel that warmth and that love. It just makes them all go away. Makes them go away. But I like that also it says that His truth shall be your shield and buckler. Shield and buckler here in the Hebrew indicates complete protection from all harm. God is our all-protective shield. Our Almighty God is our protector. And He will carry us through all the dangers and all the fears of life. See, with our confidence and total trust in Him, we will be able to, you're blessed, to replace all our fears with faith in Him, no matter the intensity of the fears. Because of love. And what's love got to do with it? There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear involves torment. But he who fears has not been made perfect in love. Now, don't take that as, that's like a rebuke. That's not what that's meant to be in that scripture. We're talking about the maturity. The maturity of understanding of God's love. That's what it's talking about here. And when you understand, you get a real concept of the love he has for you, that's when the fear is gone. That's when the fear is gone. Did you ever find yourself saying, how can he love me? And this is what I do. Every day I keep falling and doing the same thing. He is faithful and just to forgive you. He loves you that much. He loves you. Love for his people made a safe passageway through the Red Sea. It gave them a way to escape a pursuing army. Amazing. But it was love. Love was the power, with combination with the power that separated. And they didn't get wet when you see Cecil Bell DeMille's, sprinkling the water. Yeah, it's not the way it was. They walked across there going, wow. And they went across safely. Because behind them was a pursuing army, but they were sort of lost in the dark there for a little bit. And then that same love says, you aren't going to have to worry about them because you ain't going to see them no more. And when he pulled down the drape, they just took off across there and he went. That love will get rid of them enemies. God's love for us is supernatural. It goes beyond our natural understanding and reasoning. It carries great power. Power to heal. Power to redeem and to set free. Power to clean. And power to bring peace. When you put your trust in Jesus, or I say when you put your trust, when you did put your trust in Jesus, let me say that even better. That makes it even a little bit more. When you were born again, that same power that raised Jesus Christ from the dead dwells within your body. So look to Ephesians chapter 1, verses 19 through 21. I pray that you will begin to understand how incredibly great his power is to help those who believe him. I just needed you to let that sink in. It is that same mighty power that raised Christ from the dead and seated him in the place of honor at God's right hand in heaven. Far, far above any other king or ruler or president or vice president or speaker of the house or Senate majority leader. Yes, his honor is far more glorious than that of anyone else, either in this world or in the world to come. Now you look at this and you say, how is God's love and power related? Because see, they are. And what's love got to do with it?
Everything.
These two words, love and power, are what our Lord Jesus Christ's death burial, and resurrection revealed in the most life-transforming way. Changed my life forever. Never the same. Never the same. And it's our joy to share this love and this power with all those that God sends across our paths. It's a joy. It's our responsibility. It's a command. It's what we're called to do. But it should bring you great joy. Jesus, having been raised from the dead, is the head of the ecclesia, the ultimate authority over the world. Jesus is God's anointed one. He is the Messiah, the one who will set this broken world we live in right. Ain't no man going to do it. They're not capable. Man is not capable. As believers, we can be confident that God has won the final victory and is in control of everything. Do not doubt that. When that thought comes into your desk, cast it out. Cast it out. Because God is in control. And he's still on the throne. And his son Jesus is Lord. Yeah. Lord of all. Yeah. That settles it, doesn't it? God's love for us keeps on giving and giving and giving. And there is no end to the love he has for us. Well, I got one. Let me try that again. Maybe it'll get better. God's love for you and you and you and you and you keeps on giving and giving and giving, and there's no end to it. That's better, because it made it personal. That's amazing how the Holy Spirit reveals this kind of thing. Maybe they didn't get it, because you didn't make it personal. God loves you. The same as he loves him. Same as he loves Brother Denny, Janice, Lisa, and Garrett. I mean, you just look around. He loves you all the same. Loves you all the same. Get that in your head. That's what, you know, that love is so powerful. That love took him to the cross. And that love is what held him to the cross. Wasn't it the nails? It was the love. Oh, praise God. What's love got to do with it?
Everything.
For I am convinced and continue to be convinced beyond any doubt that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor things present and threatening, nor things to come, nor power, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing will be able to separate us from the unlimited, unfailing love of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. God's love is powerful. The world fears the power of the atom. Yet we belong to the God of the universe, who not only created that atomic power, but raised Jesus from the dead. God's incomparably great power is available to help us. Think about that for a minute. There's a lot of power. Atomic power. I think it was said that they could put, from one split, a dollar's worth of pennies would power New York City for 6 months. And I said, why did they relate? Say, Because if you say a dollar, but when you got a whole bunch of just pennies, 100 pennies. I mean, you think about that. God got more power than that.
Yeah. Yes, sir.
Jeremiah tells us in 32, verse 17. Ah, Lord God, behold, you have made the heavens and the earth by your great power and outstretched arm. There is nothing too hard for you. His great power is creative power. It is life-giving. It is life-sustaining. It is life-eternal with Him. There's nothing too hard for our God. Nothing. There's a song that's called So Will I.
Yeah.
And it says, as you speak, 100 billion galaxies are born. In the vapor of your breath, the planets form. If the stars were made to worship, so will I. 100 billion creatures catch your breath, involving in pursuit of what you said. I can see your heart in everything you've done, every part designed in a work of art called love.
Come on,
a work of art called love. On Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10, Amplified, not classic, brother, just Amplified. We won't go all the way right now. For we are His workmanship, His own masterwork, a work of art created in Christ Jesus. We are a work of art. Don't laugh, because you have been created in God's image. But you're a work of art. Yeah. And He's got you on display for the world to see. So let your light shine, folks. Back to Jeremiah, verse 32, verse 19. The prophet writes, you plan and do great things. You see everything that people do. You give a reward to those who do good things. And you punish those who do bad things. You give them what they deserve. Ain't nobody getting away with anything in the government. Mm-mm. Ain't gonna happen. We just gotta relax. God's in control. God's in control. What to say in Psalm 46, verse 10? He says, be still. Be still. Relax. Relax, folks. And know that I am God, he says. The great I am. What did he tell the people? I am all that you will need. Because I am who I am. I am who I want to be. I do what I want to do. I create what I create. The great I am, He's all. All, all, all. I will be exalted among the nations. He made that statement, folks. He said, I will be exalted in the United States of America. I will be exalted in the earth. He will be high and lifted up. In Exodus 14, verse 14, Exodus 14, verse 14, says, the Lord will fight for you, and you won't need to lift a finger. The ERV says, you will not have to do anything but stay calm. You don't have to do it. You got to stay calm, though. Calm means don't get mad, don't get upset, don't get angry. The Lord will do the fighting for you. But that does not relieve us of our responsibility to pray.
Yes.
Pray. You must ask. So why does the Lord call us to pray when He already knows the answer? And He knows the outcome. But He still wants us to pray. It's because prayer enters us into His presence, unlocks the power of His Spirit in us, and provides healing and direction. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn, change directions from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven. When they change directions, that's why we got to keep praying that the direction is changing. And the direction is changing.
Yeah.
You haven't seen direction is changing. Direction is changing. I mean, I got a ton of things that are just, they were just awesome news there about the different states in Arkansas, what they've accomplished, Arizona, Texas. They ain't moved by executive orders. Uh-uh. The government ain't going to come tell their states how to run their business. They're setting presidents. And there's other states that may be run by the lefts. They're either saying, uh-oh, watch out, what's happening? We got to stop those individual states. Well, guess what? The federal government can't. And as they continue to grow, it's going to spread to the next state, to the next state, to the next state. And what are they going to use against us? COVID's on the loose. COVID's on the loose. Get out your mask. Social distance. Stay in our. Shut the churches down. Ain't going to happen no more. You know what Georgia's trying to do right now? Well, they're going to accomplish it. You heard of sanctuary cities, have you not? They're going to become a sanctuary state for religious freedom. For us not to be suppressed anymore. No. Everybody's going to flock to Georgia. Well, you know what? It has to start someplace. And it's expanding. The Great Awakening. That's what it's all part of. I don't know how many of you really, but you got to go in and do some of your homework and find out what's happening. Arkansas finally signed the legislation in. The governor signed it. Y'all can't get an abortion unless it jeopardizes the woman's life. Praise the Lord, huh? That's an accomplishment that God did through individuals who got together. It went all the way through. Some of the other legislation that you'd see that's out there that has been toppled and turned, but that's because our people are awakening and praying. And they're letting their voices be known. That's why we have to let our voices be known. Call your senators. Call your representatives. Call. They calculate that stuff. How many phone calls they got that said, don't vote for this. Somebody said, do for this. Because they want to know. Because you know what? They want to make sure they secure your vote for the next time. Because how can you make the money they make in office? I don't know. Show me a rich politician, our President Truman said, and I'll show you a crook. I didn't say it, he did. I'm just quoting him. Hallelujah. And then he will hear from heaven, and he will forgive their sins, and he will heal our land. Since we've been standing on that scripture, people have been reading it and reading it, people have been praying and praying and praying. This country has been making different strides, going that direction that God wants us to go. But God's not going to do it without us praying. Right. I'm just telling you, he uses man. He uses us. That's why I call out the prayer warriors. Amen. Prayer changes things. Prayer changes things. Unity in the church, praying together in faith, changes things. And in making our request known to him, he often provides us answers to questions that we haven't even asked yet. I've been there. Jesus commanded his disciples that they should always pray and not give up. Are we not disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ? Then we are to always be praying and not giving up. That's what the devil wants you to do. He wants to get you to quit praying.
Yeah.
This is the time we cannot quit praying. Put another log on the fire. Oh, lay another prayer down. Yeah, we can get it good going. It'll be so bright, it'll be brighter than Rich's bonfires. Praise God. Oh, and see, now everybody can say, oh, yeah, now I know what you're talking about. You ever been to Rich's bonfires? Praise God. Jesus' command, though, is for us to be praying and never to give up. See, that's what because the devil doesn't want us praying. Because when we're praying together, we actually usher in the glory of Almighty God. That's when it happens. And you're in here and you're saying a few things, and you walk back there and jibber jabber, and you walk over there and you're talking, and you come back over there. That's not intercession. That's not interceding prayer. That's not intercession prayer. I'll give them a couple. And then you walk back there. Why'd you come up and say that? Just so somebody else could see you? Be more aware who was up there sees you. I don't know where that's coming from, but praise God. We should pray, and we should pray every day. Why? Simply, prayer is communication with our daddy. Daddy, I had a gentleman on the flashpoint the other day. He referred to me, he said, calls him Papa. He said, I don't do that as a disrespectful. He said, that's the closeness I have with him. Papa. But that's our daddy. So don't make it hard. Prayer is really easy. As I've said before, prayer is talking to God. Prayer is just talking to God. Now, there are different reasons and ways to pray. But prayer is a conversation with God about the things that are on your heart, on your mind, and especially what are moving in your spirit. When we receive a promise of revival, deliverance, healing, restoration through prophecy, we tend to kick back, don't we? We put on our slippers and put the recliner all the way back. And then we passively wait for the fulfillment. Mm-mm. See, this is when prayer of intercession has a big part to play in bringing that prophecy to pass. A little less talking about the prophecy and a lot more praying about the prophecy. Yeah. Things can be sped up through consistent and persistent prayer. Joshua 1:9. This is my command. Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or discouraged. For the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. For he himself has said, I will not in any way fail you, nor give you up, nor leave you without support. I will not, I will not, I will not in any degree leave you helpless, nor forsake you, nor let you down. Relax my hold on you. Assuredly not. This is a statement of his love for us. In any degree, he will not leave us helpless, nor forsake us, nor let us down. That provides comfort to our soul and helps us to be content. And great contentment comes when we get a revelation of God's sufficiency to take care of us and to meet and to supply all our needs. In Philippians 4:11-13, I like this. Paul says, I'm not saying this because I'm in need. For I have learned to be content, whatever the circumstances. I know what it is to be in need. And I know what it is to have plenty. I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation. Whether well fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. The key to it, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. You can. You can. We can make it through any difficulty, any situation, any circumstance, for it is Christ who infuses us with the inner strength needed. See, we are more than conquerors through Christ who loved us. What's love got to do with it?
Everything.
Everything. Paul writes in Philippians 4:19, God who takes care of me will supply all your needs from his glorious riches which have been given to us in Christ Jesus. It's part of the inheritance. We are to see. It means you're adopted. Your family. God treats you the same way he treats his son. Gives you the same things he gives his son. That's when you become part of the family. You become one with him. Listen, through this man-made pandemic, everyone's needs were met. Brother, I'm sorry, when you were sitting there talking, I said, okay, that was, again, in my message. But this pandemic is man-made. Open your eyes. It was man-made. But nobody ran out of toilet paper here at Alacoupa Christian Assembly, did they? I didn't hear anybody ran out of toilet paper. They all had your paper towels. Didn't need food, but we sure needed that toilet paper. Well, a lot of leaves outside, you know. But that was my point, though. We didn't run out of toilet paper. They sold so much of it, and people got so much stockpiled. Now they got so much on the shelves, they're giving it to you at a discount price to get it moving again. Pandemic ran to people to fear. The finances we needed were there because you all tithed even when we were not meeting in this building.
Amen.
Malachi chapter 3, verses 10 and 11. You know, you can't even look at him on his pad on that scripture because he's worn it out so many times. Okay. It says, bring all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. You brought them through the United States Postal Service, but you got them into this house. The money necessary to meet the church operation was here. And we operated in the black. That tells me we're learning. We're learning. It says, and try me now in this, says the Lord of hosts. We did. We all did. If I will not open for you the windows of heaven and pour out for you such blessings that there will not be room to receive it. And I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes, so that he will not destroy the fruit of your ground, nor shall the vine fail to bear fruit for you in the field, says the Lord of hosts. Anybody lose their houses? Anybody got kicked out of their apartment? We had the finances necessary. Individually, each and every one of us had the finances necessary because you tithe. But now that we're open, you don't want to send it. You got to bring it. That's what the word wants us to do. But see, you honored God. That was my point. You made sure you worked the word. Because it worked, did it not? Because the word works. And when you work the word, it will work in your benefit. Y'all put your faith in God, and he rewarded you for your faithfulness. And we definitely had to learn, if we hadn't already by that time, contentment. Because in 1 Timothy 6, says, but godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into the world, and we aren't taking nothing out of it. In however form you go out in, and it's going to be up to your mate to say how that's happened, unless you specify it in writing. See, because the attire you're going to receive in heaven is, oh, man. Just can't even imagine what heaven's like. All I know is it's got to be the greatest. I'm not wanting to go there real quick, but I just know that's where I'm going. And I get such a peace for that. Eternity with Jesus. Yeah. And he saved somebody like me. And he's still working on me. I got a long way to go. I got a long way to go. I know that. I'll be the first to admit it. But our God's title is El Shaddai. That is the Hebrew title given for the all-sufficient God. El means the strong one, the mighty one. And Shaddai, which means all-sufficient. All-sufficient. I am all you will ever need. Without God, there is no perfection. Without God, we are always lacking something. He is the all-sufficient one. He is El Shaddai. In 2 Corinthians 3:5, and I like what it says here about sufficiency. Not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think of anything as being from ourselves, but our sufficiency is from God. It's from God. So we need to stay humble before God and be careful not to place our confidence in ourselves in others, or in our own abilities. Our confidence is to be in the Lord and the talents and abilities He has given us. Yes, that He has given us. And Kyle has given me the sign, so let's wind down here. And in Psalm 27, verse 14, the Passion Translation, here's what I've learned through it all. Don't give up. Don't be impatient. Be entwined as one with the Lord. Be brave and courageous, and never lose hope. Yes, keep on waiting, for He will never disappoint you. Higher than the mountains that we face, stronger than the power of the grave, constant through these times and the changes, one thing remains. God's love never fails. It never gives up, and it never runs out on us. Amen?
Amen.
Well, thank you. And that's where we'll stop.
Pastor, please don't close. May I?
Yeah?
I've got to share this with you.
Do you need it on the tape? Because you have to turn the mic on so they can hear you.
Yeah.